Let me tell you some facts about Jean Phillips. She's been a licensed practitioner for going on 14 years. She works at Lightbridge Hospice as a chaplain. She's a ministerial student at the Holmes Institute. Oh gosh, what else? There are so many facts to say about you. Loving wife, Michael Powers. But I think more importantly, I think what I want to share is that she is a woman who knows of her own divinity. She's a woman that comes from the place of the spirit within. When you meet with Jean, when you talk with Jean, you know this is the authentic person. She leads with love always. She stands in the power of who she truly is as a woman of spirit. And and she lets her God out all the time. She lets her God out all the time. A woman who knows this powerful spirit that she is, and she's here today to share it with you. Thank you. Please welcome Jean Phillips.
Oh, that was so sweet. Great. Start me off crying. Well, good morning. And let me add my happy first day of spring to the list here. You know, it is the vernal equinox, and that means we have equal amounts of daylight and darkness today. Now, maybe not sunlight, but daylight and darkness, so for the next 24 hours. And you know, that only happens twice a year, in the spring and in the fall. So our day and night are in perfect balance today. So just think about that for a minute. Just feel the balance. I just, you know, it's a special day. Just wanted to acknowledge that. So all month, we've been exploring the theme, the power of prayer. Reverend Patty's talked about how prayer changes things and how prayer is the longing of the soul. And I just want to say, prayer is just very dear to my heart, because in my job as a hospice chaplain and spiritual counselor, I pray all the time, all day with people, and it's just my delight. And they're people of different faiths and different views of God, so that's even more fascinating to me. And so I'd like to kind of share some of the stories and some of the things I've learned through the time. And mostly what I've seen, the power of prayer in the lives of the people that I deal with. So it's lives of people undergoing transition, whether it's through a terminal illness or with their families who are in need of spiritual and emotional support. But I get to see that power of prayer, and I get to see prayer in action. And so that's what I'd like to talk about today. You up for it?
Yeah.
So I heard the story the other day. A father is teaching his 3-year-old daughter how to pray, how to say the Lord's Prayer. And so every night before bed, he would repeat the words. She would repeat the words after him. And at one point, she finally decided it was time for her to go solo. And so he listened with great pride as she enunciated each word perfectly until she got to the end of the prayer. And she says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some email." I heard that story, I thought, you know, there are Monday mornings, my prayer is deliver me from email, right? But seriously, you know, the Lord's Prayer is a very powerful prayer, and it's ancient, of course. And it really transcends time and dogmas, actually. So I say the Lord's Prayer a lot with my patients. And what I found something interesting is especially my patients that have dementia. It can really connect them. And, you know, it's just interesting to me. They may have forgotten their family their names, things like that, even faces, but they remember the prayer. They remember this sustaining piece of their lives. And it just is such a good example of really how powerful prayer is in our lives, and to take it that way. The founder of our teaching, Ernest Holmes, once said, "The entire world is suffering from one big fear, the fear that God will not answer our prayers." Right? I mean, can't we relate to that? I mean, we want what we want, when we want it, and we're afraid we're not going to get it, so we pray. Isn't that kind of why we do this? Right? But I'd like to offer a different point of view, one that's not so focused on the getting, on the receiving piece of it, but instead one that's focused on the experience of the prayer itself, of really being prayer in action, I guess is the best way. More the joy of the journey instead of the destination. Because I believe the most effective prayer is a prayer in action, a prayer that is not just recited like the Lord's Prayer, but is really lived, is really taken into our lives. And I found that kind of prayer embodies three critical qualities. I call them the three A's. They're acknowledgement, appreciation, and acceptance. That's kind of the recipe for prayer in action. So let's start with acknowledgement. By this I mean the recognition that there's something bigger than me, right? Just, it's not all about me. There's something bigger. Whether it's God, whether we call it God, we call it Spirit. You know, and for some, there is some comfort in an image of, you know, some entity up in the sky looking down, answering our prayers, listening to us. There's some comfort in that. For religious scientists, we call it more divine presence. We talk about love and law and how that responds to our thoughts, feelings, and intentions. But there's a similarity here. It's something outside of us. It's something bigger than us. It's bigger than our ego selves. And acknowledging that allows us to shift our perspective. It lifts us above the current conditions, and we're able to catch a view of the divine design around us. I like to think of a boating metaphor around this. So if prayer and meditation are like the anchor on a boat that's bobbing off in the ocean, right? And our lives sway and bob up and down depending on our circumstances, but we have that anchor, we have that grounding through our prayer. It's kind of our grounding cord. We're grounded in our faith. Now, I have a tendency to get seasick. So the idea of bobbing up and down in the ocean is not a real pleasant thought. But what I learned was the best way to maintain your balance and to avoid seasickness is really very simple. You focus on the horizon. You take in the bigger picture. And it's amazing. Your body just aligns itself so naturally when presented with the bigger picture. It really is very natural. And I think that's what this acknowledgement that I'm talking about is about. It's taking in that bigger picture. It's holding the horizon view, focusing on the horizon. I think that's where we find our inner balance. Mary Manon Morrissey, in her book, New Thought, A Practical Spirituality, she put it this way: prayer is the practice of letting go of our attachment to the outcome that we have imagined and trust God to have the highest view. Right? Letting go of our attachments to what we might want and trust God to have the highest viewpoint. So in my work, I have a wonderful opportunity of witnessing that larger perspective, right? That higher point of view, especially through my patients who are facing end of life, And I just have to say how inspired I am by their strength and grace and humor, often humor. For instance, the other day I was visiting Laura. She's 91 years old and just sweet and feisty. I just love her. She's my favorite patient. I know we're not supposed to have favorites, but she's my favorite. She loves praying. She recites scripture far better than I will ever. And she's a devout Baptist, so that explains why she knows scripture better. But she loves talking about God. And the other day, we were talking about heaven and just what it might be like and what it would look like and what it would feel like and what would it be like. And she surprised me. She just blurted out all of a sudden, "Well, you know, the way I see it, it's a good thing that people have to die. Because if none of us died, the world would really get crowded." And I'm like, you know, I don't think you can get a bigger perspective than that, right? I mean, that is the ultimate. But that's what I mean, acknowledgement of the bigger picture. So that brings me to the second quality of prayer, which is appreciation or gratitude. And Andy's song was perfect for that. Meister Eckhart once said, "If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, that will be enough." Thank you is enough. I love that. I love remembering that. I was with a ministerial classmate recently, and she asked what I would like prayer for. We were kind of teamed up. And I was absolutely stymied because, you know, my life truly is so full and wonderful these days. There really just wasn't anything that came to mind. So I just said, you know what, more. You know, I'll take more. More peace, more love. And she suggested that the reason that my life was felt so good is because my job required that I spend all day in prayers of gratitude. And I just think that's so true. And again, just feeling so blessed by it. And of course, we know that gratitude attracts more good because what we focus on multiplies. So it's just wonderful. But, you know, sometimes it is hard to come up with something that's right in front of us to be grateful for because sometimes our lives do not look all that wonderful right up front. But I found that the gift of gratitude can be found by tracing our past a little bit, our life stories are filled with blessings and surprises. And just in the sharing of that, we can connect again with the awe and the thanksgiving of it. Let me give you an example, another patient of mine, Mildred. And she was feeling pretty down that day. She was, the food was bad. She hadn't slept well the night before. She's, you know, her 94-year-old body had some aches and pains going on. And so, I acknowledged her blue day blues, as she called it, but then asked her, what was her best day ever had been? And she stopped, thought, and it didn't take long for a little smile to appear. And she began to tell me this incredible story about a day that had started out quite ordinary in 1937. And ended up with a chance meeting that changed her life because that was the day she met the man that she would spend the next 65 years with. And together they would raise 5 children, 6 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. You know, and that legacy of love just took her right into gratitude right there because how can you not be? How can you not be grateful? And to see how all of that had come before, that legacy of love continued to have such a profound effect on her present. And it brought her right into that, reminding her blessed and grace-filled life that she currently lives. So. And of course, as religious scientists, we know the power of gratitude. Right? Our affirmative prayer, not only looks at what's in front of us and what came before us, but what's yet to be manifest. Because we know that it's already done, we know that power of appreciation and of thanksgiving. So there's acknowledgement, appreciation, and the third critical quality of prayer is acceptance. And what I mean by that is opening our heart to allow change to happen. Opening our heart to allow change to happen. That's really the definition of acceptance. You know, often our prayers are a request for change, but not real change, right? We just want little tweaks. Tweak this, tweak that, you know, okay, maybe a little bit, you know, with the form shifting a little bit, but oh, don't touch the content or the substance, right? But we also know that's not how the universe works, because change is constant. Everything is in continuous movement, like the seasons, like the vernal equinox today, right? Light gives way to dark. The tide comes into the shore and goes out. Even our breath, inhale, exhale, in and out. There's a natural rhythm that's always flowing. And it's the rhythm of life, part of the natural world and absolutely part of our lives as well. Ernest Holmes described it this way: nature will not let us stay in any one place too long. She will let us stay just long enough to gather the experience necessary to the unfolding and advancement of our soul. Right? Nature won't let us stay in any place too long. Only long enough to experience our soul's advancement. And that's powerful. That's powerful to recognize that. And as religious scientists, we know that conditions around us are always in flux. Things are always taking up form and dissolving into something else. Right? And we also know the constant, which is behind it all, which is the divine truth. And that's the truth of abundance and of balance, of love, of peace, wisdom, wholeness, all those qualities of God. And prayer aligns us with those qualities through acceptance, allowing the divine to reveal itself through us and as us. Michael Beckwith put it this way: the key is not about making things happen, but about making things welcome. I like that. It's not so much making it happen, but making it welcome, creating a space. And acceptance is about making things welcome, wherever they are and however they look, right? And when we're in the victim mentality, it's good to remember that God is not doing things to us, but actually for us. That's the perspective shift that we're looking for. So acknowledgement, appreciation, and acceptance. Key qualities for effective prayer in action. And we know them in our affirmative prayer, in our spiritual mind treatment. They are steps in and of themselves, right? Acknowledgement is recognition. Appreciation is thanksgiving. And really, acceptance is release. Kind of letting it go. So here's what it all boils down to. The most important thing that I know about prayer. You ready for this? It's not about the words. You know, I think we get so hung up in the words. But words have so little to do with the movement of prayer, the power of prayer. Because prayer is so much bigger than the words. The power and activity of prayer comes from the feeling, from the experience that we're having of the prayer. It's the experience of acknowledging that bigger picture, moving through our day, acknowledging the bigger picture, focusing on the horizon. The experience of appreciating what we have, our gratitude. Again, moving through the day in a feeling of gratitude. And the experience of accepting, of welcoming everything as it comes, recognizing it. Because prayer is not meant to be simply said, it's meant to be lived. And we're meant to be visible reminders of the sacred. That's why we're here. We are prayer in action. Our lives are prayer in action. Get that? So I'd like to end today with a wonderful prayer that's actually a traditional prayer song from Ghana. And I think it captures exactly the ideas of prayer in action that we've been talking about. So I just invite you to close your eyes and just take in these words. It's not very long. And it goes like this: Journeying God, pitch your tent with mine, so that I may not become deterred by hardship, strangeness, or doubt. Show me the movement that I must make toward a wealth not dependent on possessions, toward a wisdom not based on books, toward a strength not bolstered by might, toward a God not confined to heaven. Help me find myself as I walk in others' shoes. So I invite you this week to walk with your journeying God in the shoes of others, so that you truly are prayer in action. Namaste.